On Friday's front page, a roller coaster ride on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrials plunged on worries about the Greek debt crisis. We'll find out who comes knocking when a house is foreclosed but the former owners won't leave. And why the equivalent of the SAT for 4- and 5-year-olds is being dropped by a couple of private schools here in New York. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says a routine bad day on Wall Street turned terrifying for about half an hour. The Dow Jones Industrials plunged nearly 1,000 points on fears about the financial problems in Greece. The Dow climbed back to a loss of 347 at the close. Investigators are examining what they called unusual trading activity that may have contributed to the wild ride. At least part of the sell-off appeared to be linked to trader error, possibly an incorrect order. Many of those trades can be reversed so investors won't lose money. But business columnist Floyd Norris says investors may be becoming hesitant to own assets like stocks and bonds. Another sharp retrenchment by investors and consumers could threaten the current global recovery that would choke off financing and new orders for companies. Britain is swinging away from the ruling Labour Party and toward the Conservatives. Exit polls indicated the Conservatives would win the most seats in Thursday's voting, but they wouldn't get a majority in Parliament. The turnout appeared to be high, and hundreds of voters didn't get to cast their ballots before the polls closed. 4 hours later, Conservative Party leader David Cameron said Labour had lost its mandate to govern. But British Prime Minister Gordon Brown indicated he might try to form a coalition government. Friday's front page looks at the Pakistani Taliban. American investigators have focused on it as the group behind the failed Times Square car bombing. Originally, its main mission was to train fighters to go against Allied forces in Afghanistan. But lately, it's been playing host to any number of splinter cells. Bombing suspect Faisal Shahzad is telling investigators he drew inspiration from Anwar al-Awlaki. He's a Yemeni-American cleric whose militant online lectures have been a catalyst for several recent attacks. When a house is foreclosed and the owner won't leave, a real estate agent comes knocking. It's the next-to-last resort. The sheriff is the last resort. Incentives like so-called cash for keys can help. Agent Joseph Laubinger brought along $1,800 from the mortgage company. That persuaded Blanca Sanchez and Israel Lopez to move out of the house they used to own in Lake Villa, Illinois. By the way, officially that money is called relocation assistance. It's the SAT of private schools, a $510 admission test for 4- and 5-year-olds. It's being dropped by a couple of private schools that are going against the trend toward more testing. Stephen Nelson of Manhattan's Calhoun School doubts that a test can measure a 4-year-old's intelligence. He also says the emphasis on testing creates what he called a culture of frenetic achievement. Inside Friday's Times, the oil spill continued to bear down on Louisiana. A crew prepared to lower a giant steel container over the ruptured oil well, but BP Chief Executive Tony Hayward says he wasn't actually counting on it to work. Times reporter Henry Fountain says there are several problems with it.
One is that water in the oil could freeze as it's going up the pipe, and the ice could plug up the pipe. Another is that there's gas in the oil as well, and that could bubble out as the oil travels to the surface, and it'll have to be separated from the oil. That shouldn't be a problem.
Times reporter Henry Fountain. In New Orleans, Times reporter Susan Salney says people who survived Hurricane Katrina don't know what to do about the oil spill.
A lot of people have wanted to throw on rubber gloves and suits and head down to the coast and start cleaning up, but they've been told to hold off on that for the time being over public service announcements that have been broadcast on the radio. A lot of people are concerned about how to protect themselves. Unlike in a hurricane where it would be clear what to do, you could board up windows or sandbag, they're not sure how to protect themselves. Should they be stocking up on water, filling tanks with gas? There's just a real frustration about not having any sort of physical activity to do to protect yourself and your family.
Times reporter Susan Salney in New Orleans. For the first time since Firestone tires were exploding on Ford Explorers in the 1990s, Congress is working on safety standards for cars. This comes in the wake of Toyota's problems with accelerator pedals. Times reporter Micheline Maynard says one element of the bill under consideration involves so-called black boxes.
They're not as extensive as what you have on an airplane, and they're certainly not as expensive as what's on an airplane, but they record data that takes place a few seconds before a crash involving an airbag and a few seconds afterwards. Now, car makers don't have to have them on their cars, but this would standardize the black boxes, and it would actually require them to run for longer periods than they are now. One of the complications in the whole Toyota recall situation has been that Toyota used a black box that was different from those used by other car makers, and until earlier this year, there was no way for NHTSA, the safety agency, to actually read the data that was on Toyota's black boxes.
Times reporter Micheline Maynard in Detroit. Is fringe gambling really gambling? Fringe gambling involves computer games that look and feel like slot machines in a casino. Internet cafe operators say the games are sweepstakes that fall on the right side of the law. Some law enforcement officials say, don't bet on that. The police in Roanoke, Virginia raided four cafes last month. That was after one undercover detective turned 92 cents into $133. A once-powerful Republican was sentenced to 2 years in prison. Joseph Bruno used to be the majority leader of the New York State Senate. He was convicted last year of concealing payments from a businessman who wanted help from the state legislature. The U.S. Supreme Court is now reviewing the statute Bruno was convicted under. If the High Court says it's unconstitutional, he might not serve any time at all. New York's highest court ruled that a class action suit challenging the state system for providing public defenders can move forward. The 4-3 ruling said there are enough signs the system is failing poor people. Civil liberties lawyers say the case could be a model for similar challenges across the country. Here in New York, it also sets the stage for a battle in the courts and possibly the state legislature. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.